Millions everywhere are empty in their souls, searching for a way that is true. Their lost and lonely eyes are looking for some help. Why not let it be you who leads them to Jesus? Their souls he'll set free. He will change their destiny. You can make a difference in this world. You can find those precious hidden pearls, lost and buried in the sea of pride and sin. You can make a difference in them. So many souls abound by the chain of sin and strife. They're fighting for a life that is free. They're lost within this world, just waiting to be found. Why not let it be me who searches to find them, the gospel to share? Eternal freedom can be theirs. We can make a difference in this world. We can find those precious hidden pearls, lost and buried in the sea of pride and sin. We can make a difference in them, and you can make a difference in this world. You can find those precious hidden pearls, lost and buried in the sea of pride and sin. You can make a difference in them. You can make a difference in this world.
And let's stand briefly, if you are able, just to read the scripture. I'll tell you what we'll do for sake of time. We're going to read the scriptures in Acts, and then I have two other scriptures I will read to you after we pray, okay? Acts chapter number 26. These are not our theme verses, but Brother Esposito, in our two of our Thursday services, if I'm not mistaken, or was it Sunday night? I think one was Sunday night. One was Sunday night, one was Thursday. He used these verses, and these verses are good, so I'm going to use them to start. Acts chapter 26 and verse 14. I'm going to speak fast today. We're a little bit late, and I'm not going to keep you late, but I just want to go over some things and give us some encouragements, and then we have one thing to go over at the end of the service. Acts chapter 26, verse 14, and when we were fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks? What we're reading here is Paul gave his testimony everywhere he could, and he's giving his testimony here. Verse 15, and I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of the things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. I pray in our short time, you'd help us to get a glimpse of a vision for next year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Let me read to you you can make note of it and jot it down. It's a very well-known verse. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And then in Jude, only has one chapter, verse 20 to 23. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some, have compassion, making a difference. And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. In the last few years, the themes I've chosen, I've asked the staff, you know, I've thought about what we want to do. I just wanted some basic themes for us to nail down going forward. And in 2014, our theme was to the glory of God. I just think we needed to have that nailed down. Everything we're doing is for God's glory, and he does it. In next year, 2015, I wanted us to remember who we're doing it for, the Lord Jesus Christ. And our theme was lift him up. And then last year was a little bit of a foundational one. We need the Word of God. Explore the book. Get in the Bible. This year, I wanted a theme that would help us to step out of ourselves and see others. By the way, that was a great song. Thank you for that, Karina. We'll have her sing that several times this year. Let's make a difference. Salvation is great for us personally. You think about that. We gained a new home. We're no longer on our way to hell. By the way, we have an opportunity for a new life. Right. Now sometimes, I'm saved, but things aren't going very well. Listen, let me just tell you this. It's not God's plan. Once you're saved, God wants things to go well for you. God wants to be a part of your life, and God wants to give you the new life in Christ. We can now live with the blessings of God. Man, we have a purpose. Yes, we still have our job. Yes, we still have our responsibilities. Yes, we have all that. But man, I have a new purpose in my life, a new zest for life because of Jesus Christ. And we can have a relationship with God. But although all that is true, we cannot have a salvation's not selfish, although it is good for us. We become one of God's agents to spread the good news and to make a difference. We're one of God's agents. We are now with him to go out and spread what we've experienced to those who don't have it. God wants us to love others. By the way, it's not just something he says is a good idea. He tells us it's a command. To be honest with you, it's a royal law. James chapter 2 and verse 8 says, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. And so this year's theme, as we get into the new year and we develop it, I'm going to be very specific in some areas as we get into the theme, how we can do this. I want us to really have an others mindset. Not at the expense of God, not at the expense of Christ, not at the expense of the Word of God. We got those nailed down the last 3 years. But we want to make sure that we're loving people. We're reaching people. And not always just outside the church doors, although that's important. We need to do it inside the church doors. Each and every Sunday, there's somebody here. Maybe they're new, or maybe they're newer. Maybe they've been around. They're having a tough time. You know what? They might just need someone that walks up and, how you doing today? Can I pray for you? That type of thing. As we look at our text, I start with Acts, even though Brother Esposito hammered this. I've read that passage many times in my life. But I didn't notice that little phrase there. By the way, that's why you read your Bible. Amen. I've read my Bible through hundreds of times. And some of it more than others. And I'm just telling you, it's like, I should have saw that. I've made you, it's like the two little points there. I was like, how come I didn't get that? It's probably because I'm half asleep when I read my Bible. But anyhow, God, I saw that. Paul's talking about when God saved him, he already told him right off the bat, I saved you, but there's a reason. There's something I already want you to do. There was a purpose, and as we saw when Brother Esposito explained it to us, it's to serve, to make a minister. Minister just means serve, and to be a witness, to share, to testify to others of that which you have learned from God and what God has done in your life. Paul's vision for his life revolved around a personal vision, serving, and a people vision, sharing. We're going to see that a little bit more in a minute. Of course, Proverbs tells us, the verse we read there, that without a vision, people perish. Who perishes? I'll tell you who perishes. The person that doesn't have a vision. Your life has really no meaning. We need to have a vision of what God can do in us and what God can do through us. But also, other people perish. People that we could have made a difference in their life. Because we didn't have a vision for that, it didn't happen. And then in the verses in Jude, particularly verse 22, which is our theme verse, we need compassion. See, the book of Jude started out with, you know, he wanted to talk about the common salvation, but there was a lot of nonsense going on, so he had to contend for the faith. But as he gets to the end, he wants to remind us, even if we're standing up for the truth, we need to make sure that what really makes a difference is when we have compassion and we care about people. And that's what we need to do. If we're going to make a difference, we need to have compassion. And so in these just few minutes, I want us to just share a couple thoughts. It's not our typical message. It's more aligned around the theme. I want to look at, what is your vision for 2017? What do you... By the way, if you never have a vision about what you want to do and what you want to accomplish, you're never going to do anything. You're never going to accomplish anything. You ought to think about, what do I want to be? You know, you always ask children when they're growing up, what do you want to be when you grow up? You know, I want to be a doctor. It's like, you might want to get your IQ tested. You know, someone asked Josiah when he was a little boy, what do you want to be when you grow up? And as confidently as he could, he looked and said, I want to be a fire truck. Somebody asked my son, Jack, when he was little. Brother Borden used to be a chaplain for the police department. They asked Jack, what do you want to be when you grow up? He goes, I want to be just like Brother Bord. I'm like, what about your dad? You know why I wanted to be like Brother Bord? Because Brother Bord's a preacher and a police officer. Guess I wasn't one of those, so he couldn't do it. I guess in his mind, maybe I'm neither of those. I'm not sure. But you ask them, what do you want to be? And they have this, now they don't understand, you know, okay, you know, some of them, they want to be a mermaid. That's not going to happen. But they just have this, as we get, what are you going to be this year? Now, you already are settled in, you're married, or you may be married, you may be this, or maybe several of you, you're getting married. Great. But what does God want to do in your life? Is there something you're looking, what can I do this year? So you ought to have a vision in two areas, as we mentioned with Paul. First of all, I think you ought to have a personal vision. Acts chapter 26, God told him, I have separated unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister. That was what he was going to do in Paul's life. He goes, I'm going to work in your life to make you a minister to serve. There's some specific things I want you to do. In 2017, as we look forward, think about it. 2017, look back and say, when I get to the end of 2017, what is going to be different about me when I get to the end of the year as opposed to what I was like at the beginning of the year? Maybe you can look back this year and say, man, 2016 was a good year. And I'm thankful. Many people have talked to me and told me that the theme with the Bible, they really got in on it, and it was a good thing for them. And I'm glad. And by the way, that ought to just be a yearly thing. But you can look back and say, man, 2016 was good. Here are some things that changed in my life. Here are some things that worked out in my life. Well, let's look to 2017. Well, what do you want to have happen? By the way, and I'm just going to give you some baseline commitments here, just some generic ones, specific ones you need to think through. But I can look back in my life, and I'm nothing, Brother Bichardo. Thanks for not saying amen. Okay, good. He gets a raise. I'm nothing. Good, he gets a raise too. I'm not going to ask Brother Ross because I know what he would say. Amen. But whatever I have become as a Christian and my growth in my life, you know what's funny about it? It's because I've made just commitments. Someone asked me this morning, you know, how did you get to where you're at? How did you, you know, get in the ministry? What was your call? Can I just be honest with you? I didn't get a call. I didn't even get a text. Okay. You know what happened? I just made some commitments as I went along in my life, and I just kind of followed God in my life, and he kind of placed me here. And then he placed me here. And then he placed me here. You know, if you'll make some commitments, you say, these sound small and everything. You know, you'll grow in your faith and you'll get to where God wants you to be. So what are some things you should do? What are some, and these are all common sense. I think here's some commitments you ought to think about for this year. First of all, Bible reading. Say, we hammered that last year. Look, I like to read. And I some guys read like really good books and they'll read them over and over and over. When I was in Bible college, there's a little book, The Power of Prayer, and I read that several times. I don't like reading the same book over and over, Brother Pineda, simply because I read one, I have other one I want to read. Now, I'll highlight it and I'll go back to some of the thoughts in there, but I want to read something. I'm done with that book. I got some thoughts out of it. I'll go back to the thoughts, but I'm not reading that book again. There's something else I want to read. The Bible's not like that. You don't read the Bible and say, that was good. Put that on the shelf and we're done with it. No. The Bible is a book of so much. You'll never get all of it. I'm just telling you. Brother Esposito read that book, and a servant minister, I'm like, I've read that 100 times, and I'm sure I thought about it, but I didn't get that little thought that God already said. Listen, when you got saved, I already got it for you. There's so many things you'll read, and it's like, wow, it'll jump out at you. So let's make sure we're in our Bibles. As last year, here's a couple commitments. First commitment is, I think you ought to commit to read through it this year. Okay? You say, man, I do that every year. I'm going to challenge you. It's not on the commitment, but I'm going to challenge you. Read it through twice. Find what works for you and get it done. If you're newer, one time, maybe two times. And I always, maybe I should do it more. I don't know. These guys, I read it 50 chapters a day. God bless you. If I read 50 chapters a day, I'm not going to get anything. I read my Bible through three times a year. That's where I kind of settled in. And I switch it up. Okay, last year I started the Bible reading schedule in January. I went 4 months out, and I started reading that also 4 months out, and I figured we'll all end up in the same place. And I'm on target. We're gonna end on the same day. I parsed it out right. This year I'm going to do the same thing, but I'm going to read it all together. Start out 3 days worth in Genesis and just keep going all the way through. Sometimes I've read it through twice, and then one other time I've read chronologically, whatever it is. But I know this, baseline is we need to read through our Bibles this year. That's just a good place to start. And so I encourage you to make that commitment. And here's another one you ought to make. Let's do this next year. Let's read it every single day. Let's just strive to say, you know what? I'm going to read it today. Read it every day. I'm going to read through the whole thing, and I'm going to read it every single day. You've got to get in your Bible. By the way, you can come to church. You can be faithful to church every day of the week, and we could give you 150 awards for doing that. But if you don't get in your Bible, it's not going to work. You've got to get in the Bible. So that's a good one I want you to think about. Then I want you to also make some commitments regarding church. Now let me say this. I said you can come to church and not read your Bible. It's not going to work. But let me just say this. You can just read your Bible and not have a church family. That's not going to work either. We need a church family. One of the greatest things that helped me when I started going to church every single service, that just helped me so much. And the encouragement I received from the pulpit, the encouragement I received from the church members was such a blessing. Church, what are some commitments you should think about? Be faithful to church every single Sunday morning. If you're new and you say, I come every now and then, you know a good place to start is say, you know what? I'm not going to miss. Interesting story. There was one day in the United States where we didn't have a president. Now, I know with the voting this year, some people have thought, why don't we just do that for 4 years? Okay? There was one day when we didn't have a president. It was in 1849. President James Polk's term ended at noon. I believe it was on a Sunday. The incoming president was going to be Zachary Taylor. Zachary Taylor said, I am not going to be sworn in and take the office of president on a Sunday. I go to church. He waited until Monday. So technically for that one day, there was no president. Because a man said, by the way, would to God we had presidents like that nowadays. But he's just like, I'm not going to do it. You're not swearing me in on Sunday. I go to church. Could you imagine if we had a president that did that? They'd freak out. He'd be all over the fake news or whatever it is they're throwing at us this week. But I just think it's a good thing to say, you know what? You know where I started when God started working at me? I said, you know what? I'm going to start going to church every single Sunday morning. And I did that for a month. I still do it, by the way. I'm here every week. But I did that for a month, and then I took the next step. If you're already faithful to that, you might want to make a commitment. I'm going to start coming to some of the evening services. See, after a month, I'm like, you know what? I need more. And I said, you know, I'm going to just come to every single service they have, Sunday morning, Sunday night. And at that church, it was Wednesday night. Ours is Thursday night. Be faithful. Also, another commitment, maybe you need to become a member of our church. See, some people like to go, and it's kind of like, this is my church. I'm not going to join. You know why? That's like a commitment. Some people don't like commitments, right? By the way, it's like people that like, you know, yeah, I love you. I'll live with you, but I won't marry you. What you do is, here's what you say very kind to that person. Drop dead. You ain't living with me unless you're committed to me. Hello. I didn't mean to meddle this morning. You say, I don't like this church, so I can't become a member here. And I'm saying this, and I love this church. I think it's the best church in the whole world. But if you felt like that, I would tell you to find a church you could become a member because it's that important.
Yes, it is.
It is. Become a member. Maybe you haven't done it yet. Take that step. Here's another one with your church. Maybe you haven't went through our discipleship class. I would encourage you to maybe make that commitment. By the way, if you don't understand all these things, your Sunday school teacher can help you. It helps you understand our church a little bit more in our direction. Another commitment I think we should think about is our adult Bible classes. We have those on Sunday morning. Okay? By the way, they're important. When you have a church of any size, if you just come into the morning services and you take off, you're not going to meet anybody. You're not going to know anybody. Fact of the matter is, most of the time, you're just trying to get a seat. Okay? But when you go to a smaller class, you get to meet some people. You'll get some good. One of the blessings of being a part of a church is the friendships that it gives you. Just built in. You see them. Look, I like Robert. Not a lot, but a little bit. But you know what? If we weren't in the same church, I'd hardly see this guy. Huh. Yeah. Did you invite me over for dinner at least? You don't do it now. Why would you do it then? Anyhow, just kidding. You see people each and every week because you get good, godly Christian friends. I was kidding, Robert. I haven't invited you over either, but there's a reason for that. So listen, get involved in Bible class. Be faithful. Be a part of it. Look for a ways to be an encourager. And that's really what our theme is about. And we won't spend much time in this. Maybe you need to step up in your giving. So I know you're going to get to giving. No, we're not going to hammer the point. But again, God talks about it. People that give are blessed. And I don't know where you're at in your giving, and that's not the message today. But I do know this. If the church is going to go forward, it just takes finances to reach people. And so God wants you to work on that. But that's your personal vision. You need to think of, what am I going to do this year? We're going to look at that, at the whole thing in a minute. And then also, we need to have a people vision. What does that mean? We need to have a vision that's outside of ourselves. We get ourselves nailed down as Christians. Our relationship with God is going good. We're growing in our relationship, but it can't stop there. We have to get to the royal law, loving our neighbors ourselves. Why don't we get involved with caring about other people? So many ways we can do that. I already mentioned you can do it in your Bible class. When you're in a smaller group and you're coming before church starts and you're hanging out or whatever you're doing, it's easier to meet someone, talk to them. How are you doing? How long have you been coming here? Where do you work? And kind of strike up a friendship, that type of thing. Encourage each other. Or maybe, hey, can you pray for me? I have this prayer request. That happens in smaller groups, okay? Encourage, engage people in church. You know, we won't read it, but if you look at Acts chapter 2, the people were being saved and baptized, and they were being added unto them. Who was them? The church. But the church was the people. And they were becoming a group, and they were doing things together. They were encouraging each other. By the way, in that day, there was a lot of persecution. People would lose their jobs. They had trouble taking care of themselves. And the church would get together and help each other out. Encouragement. And engage people. Become part of the church family. Grow in the church family. And working together. What am I saying? God wants to work in our lives so that we can be a blessing and encouragement to other people. And when it comes to making a difference, let me say this, we'll be done, and what we're going to do a little card here in a second. It's got to get past the superficial. That's the starting point. When you get to meet somebody, you get to learn about them. Okay? When I first dated my wife. What's your name? You know, I knew her name. We met. But, you know, where are you from? What's your, you know, a little bit about yourself. What do you like? This, that, or the other. And then as we got a little closer, it got a little deeper, learning about her family. And by the way, nothing she could have told me would ever have prepared me for them. But anyhow, I'm kidding. By the way, nothing I could have told her about myself could have prepared her for me. So, hey, I kind of held some things back too, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I wanted to know her more than just, you know, she likes Snickers bars. Although I felt something on that one right there. That's a good one. You know, I wanted to know more about her. I wanted to really get to know her. You know, you get to know someone in the church. Oh, hey, Bill, Tom, whatever your name is. But then you get to really know each other, you know, to the point where they have a need. By the way, you know, someone's moving. It'd be nice if the church family was there to help them move. Okay? Or they have this need. Or you know what? I'm going through this situation. Can you pray with me about this? It'd be a good place to come to. But it has to get past that superficial where we really do care about each other. Commitments. Commitments are a part of growth. Ushers, why don't you come and get the papers ready? We're going to pass something out here. Can I get a pianist for a second? You know what papers I'm talking about there? I'm going to pass this out, and we're going to go over this really quick. And you don't have to turn it in. This is just for you. But I want you to think about this year. By the way, when we think about things, we do things, it's good to make a commitment. You say, why do we do that? Well, can I just tell you something? When I told my wife I loved her, you know what the next step for her was, Brother Pichardo? I don't blame her. I was a good guy. She wanted a commitment. She's like, let's make a commitment here, right? Not like, I love you. Well, what's the next step? I knew what the next step was. And it was not a step. It was more of a fall. No, okay. What's the next step? The next step is, will you marry me? Okay. By the way, she wasn't the only one. I wanted complete commitment. It's like, all right, we're in love now, but that's not enough. Can we make this a permanent arrangement? Not me, you, and somebody else. You, me, and me, and you. Nobody else. Commitments. You know one thing that we do sometimes? We look at these spiritual things and say, you know what? I'm gonna strive for that. I'm going to make a commitment to try to do this. Amen. I'm going to make a commitment. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to follow through on it. Just to get us thinking. Ushers, why don't we pass these out? By the way, you have pens. They're in your packet. Amen? That just worked out there. We talked about several commitments. Here's commitments. And by the way, this is just between you and God and the ink on the paper, okay? But I'll tell you this. Whenever you think about something but you don't commit to it, you're not going to do it. You know why New Year's resolutions last about January 2nd, right? By the time that the Trojans win the Super Bowl, the Rose Bowl, you'll be done, okay? Because we don't make a commitment. I'd like to, you know what? I want to be a better Christian. Great. What are you going to do to be a better Christian? What do you mean? That's too generic, right? I want to be a better husband. You know what my wife says? Here's the list. Here's what you need to do. I'm like, hold on, sister. I got a list for you too. Amen? Just kidding. But it involves some things. Let's just look at these. And I want you to think it through. And I'm going to encourage you to some of these. Bible reading. Why don't you just make a commitment right there? I'm going to read through the Bible this year. That's what that's scheduled. You know, I read through my Bible three times. I've always read my Bible, but I don't know why, and maybe it's just childhood. I like checking it off. I just like, got it. I know I read it. God knows I read it. I just like to, let's make some progress here. Maybe you'd say, you know what? And not only that, I'm going to do it every single, I'm going to forge out time. I'm not going to find time, because you never find time to do things. You know what you do? You make time. You put it in your schedule. What about church? Maybe you say, you know what? This year, I'm going to nail down faithfulness. I come on Sunday mornings, but sometimes, you know, I miss. If I just, you know, the Spirit's not leading. By the way, for me, every time the alarm clock goes off on Sunday morning, the Spirit is not leading. Okay? I want to throw a hammer at that thing. But I do it. How about Sunday evening? Maybe say, you know, I'm going to start. I come every Sunday morning. I want to start coming to some of the evening services. Maybe you need to become a member. You've been thinking about it, and it's just something you thought about doing. Hey, why not just hook up with us? Say, what happens when you become a member? You don't get to park in the parking lot anymore, amen? Just kidding. Parking spot is limited, all right? That was a deal killer right there, right? You'll say, can I get the exception? Now, if you can't, if you have physical ailments and you can park there, but if you don't have physical ailments, seriously, we'll find you another place to park. I'm coming here, I'm faithful, I'm a member, but I've never went through discipleship. Talk to your Sunday school teacher, but maybe you need to do that. Adult classes, boy, they are more important than you think. And please, please, make a commitment. Say, I'm going to be here, my Sunday school class, every week, on time, ready to go, in my place, looking for people to be a friend to, that type of thing. Developing friends. And then your giving. I will grow in my giving. We've passed this out. It's called the giving ladder. Maybe you need to step up in your giving. God wants you to be a part of what's going on here by investing. Okay? Why don't we bow our head and close our eyes for just a minute?